Okay, so we're going to be talking about the Antichrist. And before we get into a study on the Antichrist, I wanted to do something real quick, about 5 minutes, on why we should study Bible prophecy. And, you know, as we look at the Antichrist, you know, that's a part of Bible prophecy. And the sad reality is, and maybe, you know, I don't want to be critical, but maybe that's why too many people are not on the call or the Zoom Bible study this afternoon, is that most people, they feel that Bible prophecy is irrelevant. You know, people are saying, look, I need to find out how to pay my bills. I had a minister tell me that he says nothing about Bible prophecy because that's not helping black folks in the kingdom.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of the Antichrist. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of the Antichrist.
Of desolation. And Jesus talked about that. So again, here's something that Jesus talked about. Jesus talked about the abomination of desolation and how that one day the Antichrist would come and that he would defile the altar of God. And so how can he defile the altar of God if the Jews are not back worshiping in the temple, right? So the Antichrist makes this covenant for 7 years. In the middle of 7 years, he breaks the covenant. He defiles a temple, the abomination desolation. And then in the third block, you see now he begins to persecute Israel. All right. So, you know, he makes a covenant with them in the beginning, but now he begins to persecute them. So, you know, this is anybody that studies Bible prophecy, this is important to understand how the Antichrist, you know, will function in relationship to Israel. And so this is how that's going to work. So yeah, I wanted to get that in there because actually it kind of ties into my next point, and that is the nationality of the Antichrist. What nationality will the Antichrist be? Some commentators believe, according to John 5:43, which they say is a reference to the Antichrist, Jesus said, I come in my Father's name and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. And so you're going back to the point that I made before, right? That he makes a covenant with the Jewish people. So that means what? That the Jewish people received him, that they received him, all right? And Jesus said that somebody will come in my name and you will receive him. Many people believe that when they, what Jesus was talking about is when the Antichrist come, that they will receive him, you know, at the beginning of the tribulation. All right. So the only person they would receive, you know, now, you know, a Jewish person, you know, they're not going to receive anybody else. You know, the only person they're going to receive is another person of Jewish nationality. So some people say based on that, that the Antichrist will be Jewish. Some say he will be a Muslim, all right, because there's been such tension and persecution between Islam and between Judaism. Some people believe Antichrist will be a Muslim since they are great persecutors of Jewish people. There is an Islamic prophecy which actually says they will rule the world one day. But now a lot of people believe that a Muslim will not be the Antichrist because according to 2 Thessalonians 2:4, that the Antichrist will go into the temple. Again, how can he go into a temple if it hasn't been reestablished? All right. So they believe that the Antichrist will go into the temple and declare himself to be God. All right. And they say, well, so that can't be a Muslim because no Muslim would ever declare himself to be God. All right. So that is one of the refutations to the argument that the Antichrist would be Muslim. Then some people say he'll be a Gentile. So, you know, we've got, as far as his nationality, will he be Jewish? Will he be Muslim, or will he be a Gentile? Now, according to Revelation 13:1, the beast, the first beast, arises out of the sea, right? And so if you know, those of you put on your Bible hats right now, right? Put on your Bible hats. And when you put on your Bible hat, what does the sea represent in scripture? Well, the sea generally represents the nations, right? The sea represents the nations. And so this would have been the Gentiles. The Gentiles would be the nations, all right? So based on that, some people believe that the Antichrist will be a Gentile. Now, you know, another thing that's interesting here is that every time, so let me give you a little Bible tidbit, okay? You can put this in your hat and use it at a convenient time. Every time the temple was destroyed, now you keep in mind that the temple is the main place in the life of Israel. Whenever God led them out of Egypt, what did they have? They had the tabernacle, and that was the main gathering point. When they moved into the promised land, what was one of the key places was the temple, right? So the temple is very significant in Judaism. And every time the temple was destroyed, who was it destroyed by? That's right, Gentiles. Every time the temple was destroyed, it was destroyed by Gentiles. So, you know, that might be a good argument, you know, for the fact that the Antichrist would be a Gentile. So again, what are the three options as far as the nationality? Islam, Jewish, and Gentile. So again, I think we can pretty much rule out Islam, because again, Muslim would actually go into the temple and declare himself to be God. So, but that's what the Antichrist will do. All right. Now I'm going to conclude with this today, and that is the stage is being set for the Antichrist to come. The stage is being set. All right. And so I'm just going to say, look around you. All right. I remember one of my favorite shows is the King of Queens. I like that show. And you know, it's a husband and wife, and their father-in-law lives in the basement. And one of the they were trying to get some time to themselves, but they couldn't because their father-in-law was always there. And so what they did was, without telling the father-in-law, they actually hired a dog walker to come every day and get him out of the house and walk him, right? But he didn't know that. You know, he didn't know. He thought that it was just a young lady that was coming, and you know, that they could have good conversations and have a good fellowship. Well, you know, there was one day that they ran into another guy, and he was a little upset. And so, you know, he was trying to tell him that without coming right out and saying it, that, you know, hey, do you know that they're treating you like a dog, right? But because they've hired a dog walker to walk you. But the guy wasn't getting it, you know? And he told him, he said, they were at a dog park. He said, just look around. And there was, you know, dogs running, and there was, you know, dogs catching the balls. There was dogs sitting around. He said, look around. And the guy began to look around, and he saw all these dogs, right? And dogs being walked. And then he realized that this lady is walking me like a dog, you know. But he had to look around and see what was going on around him. And when he saw what was going on around him, the light bulb came on, and he said, oh, you know, this lady is a dog walker. And so that's what I'm saying here, saints, that when it comes to the Antichrist, just look around you, right? Just look around, like the guy in the dog park, seeing all the dogs. Just look around. The signs are all around, all right? And so let's just look at a couple of them that are setting the stage for the Antichrist. Okay, in Revelation 13, 16, and 17, we read about a false prophet, which is the second beast. The Antichrist is the first beast in Revelation 13, and the false prophet is the second beast. Now look what he does. He gets the small, great, rich, and poor, free and bound, to receive the mark in their right hand or in their forehead. And so without it, no one could buy or sell. So what is that number? The number is 666. So we can get into a lot of speculation about this. Some people will say it's not a literal number. Some people will say it's a symbolic number. Some people will say it's the universal barcode. I'm going to say right now, and I hope not to bust anybody's bubble. But right now, I think that we can say we don't know, what the mark of the beast is. And we can say it, and I'm saying it might be 666. I'm saying that, but there's possibility that it could be something else. It could be a chip or something. So, I know we put a lot of stock in taking it literal, that people are literal gonna get a number. People try to stay away from getting phone numbers with 666 in them. People don't want their address to be 666. All right. Your movies have come out and talked about 666. So again, I'm saying it could be 666. I'm not going to say, teach that it's not, but I'm going to say, that there's some strong possibilities that it might be something else also. All right. But we see that the stage is being set for that. And then we see it talks about a system that controls the people of the world from a financial perspective. So, it said that, they couldn't buy or sell. Without the mark of the beast, residents of the earth are cut off from buying and selling. Those who refuse to receive this mark are cut off from the cashless world financial system. And some don't believe this will be a physical mark, but becoming a part of an economical system. So the power of the Antichrist will be that he can shut people off from the financial opportunities of the world by the system that is being set up. Notice again that under his domain and rule, you won't be able to buy or you won't be able to sell, which pretty much means that, first of all, that you're going to starve to death, right? If you can't go buy groceries, it means that, you're not going to be able to have some of the amenities, that you will be cut off from buying or selling. So just look around us, look at, here we are in the dog park, right? Let's look around and see all the dogs. Let me go to this next one. How that we are moving. This is the way that we are moving, right? The stage is being set for one world financial system, which is what? The mark of the beast. Now, I know that there's some people that are going to laugh and say, well, you're a conspiracy theorist and all this other kind of stuff, right? And I understand that. But, I'm just telling you what the Bible says. And so, we can, believe something else or we can believe what the scripture says. And that's why a lot of people don't want to study prophecy, because they think that, people are conjuring up conspiracy theories. Well, I'm not telling you any conspiracy theory. I'm just saying that this is what the Bible says, and we are headed this way to a one world currency, right? Where everybody on the globe will have the same currency, right? And then what's the other thing? We are headed toward a cashless society, right? You have you guys seen that commercial where there's a young African-American lady, and I think she's buying coffee, and they start showing all these other people trying to buy coffee, and it goes ching, 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 and they're trying to buy coffee, and somebody's reaching in their wallet, you know, for cash to pay, and somebody else is reaching in their wallet to put cash in a one of those machines that receive cash, and they're getting frustrated, right? Because they can't find enough cash in their wallet. They put the money in the machine and it won't go in. And then somebody pulled out their credit card and it didn't work. And then finally it shows this lady, she goes up to buy some coffee and she gets her coffee and all she does is hold up her phone and the guy scans her phone and everybody else is looking at her, right? Because they're frustrated because they couldn't use their economic system that they were using. And so they got frustrated, but here she was, all she had to do was hold up her phone and it rang her up and she was able to walk off. And so the thought behind that was that you don't have to waste a lot of time trying to, you know, pilfer through your wallet or your purse to get cash. You don't have to worry about credit cards being declined. You don't have to worry about putting your money in a machine and it kicks it back out that, you know, you can use, you can have it on your phone. So we're in the dog park, right? We're in the dog park. Look around. Look around. All the dogs that we see in the park, right? A cashless society. You know, it's going that way. You know, one day, you know, when we went to visit my son in Atlanta, it was amazing. I couldn't believe it. He lived less than 5 minutes from Six Flags over Georgia. And he was in a nice neighborhood and he lived 5 minutes from Six Flags. So we were there for 2 weeks. And you know where we went about four times out of the 2 weeks we were there. You know, we went to Six Flags, right? Because it's one of the best amusement parks in the country. And I remember going up to buy some water and I reached into my wallet and I pulled out whatever it was, $2 or $3. And the lady said, you know, credit card only. Credit card only. You mean to tell me that you're not going to credit card only? And this is, you know, it's very fortunate that I had a credit card because it was hot that day and I needed some water. So, you know, again, just in a place like that, you know, you can't use cash, right? Cash is not king in some place like that. And so, you know, we see, you know, again, you know, this is all setting the stage when we look at Revelation 13, where it'll be one system. It'll be one world currency and it will be a cashless system. And then let me close with this right here. We see the foundation being laid to control people on the earth. To control people on the earth. Look at the things that are in place to control your life. Already these things, you know, in China, people going to the airport, that they, it's this facial recognition that, you know, you don't have to, you know, show a driver's license, an ID, it's facial recognition that you can, you know, go through the screening and everything through facial recognition. Look at the chips with all your medical information on it. A chip with all your medical information on it. Now, again, I know we have HIPAA laws and, you know, all that kind of stuff, but, you know, when you look at it being under control of a evil, or as Paul called him, a wicked ruler, you know, he will have access, you know, to all your medical information. What about GPS tracking locations, right? That they can track you anywhere in the world where you're at. They know where you're at, right? Isn't that a scary thought? That at any point, you know, now especially if you got car or you got phone, and they will know where you're at any point in time. The stage is being set. they are, whether you know it or not, they can email, they can monitor your email, your text, and your phone calls. You know, big brother might be listening in. So, you know, as the old song says, you be careful little feet where you go. Be careful little hands what you do, right? So, you know, that's why you should never do anything. Oh, I'm getting ready to preach now. We're talking about Bible prophecy, but I'm getting ready to preach to somebody now. Never do anything through email or text or phone that you could regret later. Somebody said, say it now and move on, email it or text it and regret it forever, right? Regret it forever. Because whether we want to think about it or not, you know, we are being monitored. Or let's put it this way. There's the ability to monitor us, okay? Because again, you know, I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist, right? So I'm trying to make sure. I'm just saying that, you know, this is stuff that they can do. And in some cases, you know, they're already doing it. You look at a lot of these high profile people that end up going to court or getting accused. You know, they're able to go back and pull up their emails. You know, look at Hillary Clinton. You know, when they were trying to take her down, you know, what was the main thing that they used? They used her emails. All right. So, you know, these things are out there. Cameras are everywhere. And you know, no matter how are they catching, you know, thank God, you know, again, thank God for cameras. Thank God for cameras. Because I believe that a lot of injustices that happen to, and I'm gonna say specifically Black men, where, you know, back in slavery times when they were hung, you know, even during civil rights times when they were being falsely accused and in prison. And what if there'd have been a camera around that would have shown, like it is today, you know, all the things that are happening, that have happened to Black people, and they've caught it on camera. And a lot of Black people have been the beneficiaries of cameras being everywhere. Right. And so on the one side, you know, that's a good thing with the camera. All right. Now, on the other side, again, your cameras are being used or can be used, you know, to monitor people. You know, I think of that verse in Proverbs 15:13, where it says the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And I can take the eyes of the Lord and I can say, cameras are in every place, beholding the evil and the good, right? And that's true. And then and this blows me away right here, that people have the ability, I'm not saying that they're doing it, but they have the ability to listen, even when your phone is turned off, that they have the ability to be able to, you know, hear your conversations. So my only point is this, is that the stage is being set for the Antichrist. That's my only point, is that the stage is being set. So, you know, again, I'm not saying that all these things are being used to control people's lives and invade people's privacy. I'm just saying, and so hear me on this, because I hear somebody coming back saying, Pastor, you sound like a conspiracy theorist. No, all I'm saying is that things are in place, that whenever the Antichrist comes, he might put a lot of things in place when he comes, but there's a whole lot of things in place right now that he can capitalize.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of The Antichrist Part 2. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, The Antichrist, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Antichrist. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Antichrist from our series on prophecy. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series on prophecy is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.